Father, we come in Jesus' name. It's wonderful to know you, the Most High God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. We pray that therefore you will come and help us. Anoint me afresh, so that I will speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God, so that this word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and emotions to be more controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure. Power that will heal, deliver, and break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the word and not hearers only of the things which they hear. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving each blessing I mentioned in their individual life, agreed and said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Before I go into the word this evening, I would like to make a few comments about the American elections that took place last night. I'm sure all of us have heard the results. We were up all night following the results, and of course we were very disappointed in what happened, but I think I owe it to the church to give a few words. Mommy traveled, she probably will be back in time, probably will join us before the end of the service, and of course I probably will address these things again on Sunday, because I took a very public position for Hillary Rodham Clinton, and I got the whole church to pray. We fasted, we prayed. We did the same thing for President Obama. I did the same thing many years ago for George W. Bush. You know, so it's not something that's new to me. Certainly, I was very surprised and disappointed in what happened. And naturally, when things like this happen, we'll say, ah, didn't you hear from God? Doesn't God know everything? And why would such a thing happen? Or maybe you didn't hear God and stuff like that. Firstly, it was not a prophetic word. I did not say, thus saith the Lord. You know, I just said, I discern and I believe that Hillary Clinton has a better heart and would be a better president. And it was on that basis of that revelation or discernment in my heart that I took time to pray about it. I did the same thing with George W. Bush. I did the same thing with Barack Obama. For those who will remember, then there's a reason why I'm giving the history. You know, in the case of George W. Bush, you know, I didn't even know him. I mean, none of these people, I don't know them personally. So it's not personal. I just like to discern what I believe is the will of God and pray it into manifestation. In the case of George W. Bush, you know, he didn't even want to run. He didn't want to run. He did not want to become president. He said, I've become governor of Texas. He said, what else do I need? He said, what am I looking for? It was his mother. They were in church. And his mommy read the scripture from Exodus about Moses. When God told Moses that he should go to set the people free. And Moses said he didn't want to do it. So his mommy went to him and said, this is what God has said. If you like, don't do it. Like God said to Moses, you know, when Moses said, oh, I can't talk, I can't do this. God said, you know, and it was from there he now accepted to run. And it was from there, this was ever before he ran, I began to follow it. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I've said it many times and I will not stop saying it. Thank God it was George Bush who was president at 9/11. Only God knows what would have happened to the White House on that day. Because the second plane, that one that was crashed in Pennsylvania, was actually directed to the White House. They had three targets. They had the Twin Towers, they had the Pentagon, and they had the White House. I believe with all my heart that we averted something. And I still believe, I don't care what public opinion is, I still believe that had George W. Bush not gone into Iraq, what we are talking about today may not be what we'll be talking about. I believe it. And I used at the time the analogy of, the example of Adolf Hitler in World War II, which also I've used with Donald Trump. I'll get to that in a minute. You know, because what happened in that case was that he was building up weapons and he marched into Czechoslovakia. This was 1935. It was in Potsdam. And they had this peace conference with the Allied powers. And they gave in to him. And he said, oh, he doesn't have any ambitions. It's like Nigeria and Benin Republic, that they had Yoruba-speaking people in Benin Republic. So they had German-speaking people in Czechoslovakia. So Adolf Hitler told them, said, look, I don't have any ambitions. All I want is that the Sudetenland, where they speak German, I just want to make them a part of the. And after that, you will not have any more problem for me. They believed him. Those 4 years, 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39, was when he built up his military war machine. His plan was to completely conquer the whole world. Europe first, then the whole world, and kill every Jew. He almost succeeded. Because, you see, when somebody say, someone like Saddam Hussein, who used gas on his own people, yes, he didn't have weapons of war. No, they didn't find evidence of it. But it is something that he had done before, and he probably would still have done it had he been left alone. That's on George W. Bush. Of course, for Barack Obama, we prayed. We, believe that God he had a right heart. And he's proved his presidency has been a very successful presidency, in spite of the fact that he has not been given the credit that is due to him. The American economy was down in 2008 when Barack Obama took over. Today they've been adding jobs and the economy is on the up and up. The Republicans decided that they were not going to cooperate with him, and they've tried to frustrate from day one, and they wanted him to be a one-term president. We prayed, he got the second term. I believe probably the only mistake, if I can call it, it is a mistake, and I never agreed with it, and I said so publicly, is this question of the LGBT, the lesbian, gay, and they making it into law, and I probably that's part of what we're seeing now, gay thing, which I never agreed with, I still don't agree with, However, I believe that Hillary Clinton, I just listened to her. She just gave her concession speech just about 30 minutes ago. I just listened to it. Exactly the same thing that I said on Sunday. I didn't even know she was that, she knew Bible that much. I didn't know. What I said on Sunday, where she went to church the previous Sunday and quoted from Romans chapter 5. Tonight, this morning in America, this morning, afternoon, she just gave a speech now, conceding to Donald Trump and asking people to cooperate with him so that there will be a peaceful transition of power, And she ended with the scripture, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. And that she will continue to work for America and told the young people, especially the late girls, they should not give up on their dreams and that everything. I will tell you what I believe. I believe in my heart she was the better candidate. I believe that. That has not changed. The fact that it didn't happen has to do with a very important principle in the Bible. When we perceive what is the will of God, we pray to birth it into the earth. But when it comes to the will of men, God does not override the will of man. He influences it. He will cause an atmosphere to make it easy for you to submit to the will of God. But if you choose not to, God will not override your will. Case in point, Israel said they wanted a king. God didn't want them to have a king. But when they insisted, God told Samuel, let them have their king. But this is the kind of king you're going to have, but it's your choice. The same may happen with us here in Nigeria. In the Nigerian elections, after so many things have unfolded, I didn't know Jonathan personally. I knew Aki Adesina, my very good friend, who's now president of the African Development Bank. And it was from Akin's point of view, I saw the government. And Akin is a clean guy up till now, And he was giving me feedback of that, the president. But all the other corruption that other people are doing, I didn't know about it. Obviously God had, to do something with that. But the important point is this. God does not override the will of men. So if people make a choice, especially this kind of political kind of choices, the government of the people, by the people, is not God's government, even though as Christians we can pray to enforce the kingdom of God, but we cannot, he will not override the will of men. And that's the point we need to understand. So what happened yesterday was that the people made their choice. The American people made their choice to choose Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, even though, it is obvious to all and sundry that she was by far the better, more qualified and more prepared candidate, and I still believe that. I still believe that, the will of God is that God will not override the will of the people. So the people have made their choice, and we now have to pray for President Trump. It will not stop me from praying for America. We still have to keep praying because it is in our enlightened self-interest that it is well with Trump, that he succeeds. The United States is an institution. It goes beyond one man, and so we'll continue to pray for smooth transition of power, for him to succeed as a president, and for the will of God still to be done. Let me say this, the drama is not over yet. Hello, somebody. I said this to Pastor Wega in the morning, and I want to say it here to all of us, to encourage us. What has happened in this election? They'll still be analyzing it over the years in the history books and everything, brings out something that's, we are dealing with the sin nature in man that has reached a proportion that is unprecedented. And I said this while the thing was going on, that even that such a thing could even come up shows you the level of depravity. So we're dealing with the nature of sin, the rebellion, lying, all kinds of things. It now looks as if it's the people who do this kind of thing that win. Yeah. But what it does to me, and I want to encourage every single one of you, is that it shows us the imperative of the manifestation of the sons of God. It makes it even more urgent. Because it is only the manifestation of the sons of God and the power of God that God can use to disciple the nations. The other day I was preaching here and he says, you know, I was talking about the fact that when the manifestation, when the glory of God begins to be more manifestation, it's going to cause a backlash from the nations. They will say, you know, why do the heathen rage? Or the people, you know, imagine if it says, you know, they raise their voice against the Lord and his anointed. You know, and I said, Joseph, you know, he says he bound his princes and taught his senators wisdom. You know, and I said, why? That's what makes them ban. And they'll say, you know, we shall cast their cords, you know, asunder, so that they will not oppress us. The way the world is going now, you can see the rise of evil, of depravity and all of that. It's going to take the glory of God to arrest the situation and cause, we are really in the end of the end time, and cause the gospel of the kingdom to be preached unto all nations. Then when we are caught up, all hell will really break loose. We can already see the what it's going to be like. But there must be a divine intervention that will hold that thing for some time. Like the Bible says, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, so that we can do the job of disciples of nations before we go. So rather than this thing to discourage us, it should actually, I know people will be sad. I was very sad. I was very, you know, even my children in England need to know, all crying, and I had to just encourage everybody, because everybody was stayed up all night, you know, even Dara and William in America, everybody, you know, was shocked because nobody expected Hillary to lose, you know. But the people have made their choice, and so we as Christians we must submit to what they've chosen, because that's the system of a democracy, you know, and then continue to pray so that God can help us to manage the situation, so that, you know, something really terrible will not happen, you know. So what I'm saying is that the struggle still continues in terms of prayer and walking in the Spirit and all of those things, you know, to arrest the situation. So always remember, God does not violate the will of the people. He will try and influence it. He will try and change it. But if they insist, then God will let them have what the king that they want. That's what happened in Israel with Saul. That's what happened, and that's what has happened here in this situation with Donald Trump. He's probably, technically speaking, you know, the most unqualified person, but he's there now. So we have to pray, you know. In fact, what Joshua, I just spoke to Joshua, my son, he said, that is very scary. I said don't be scared. I said, God is still in control. And the scripture I sent out this morning, give me Daniel chapter 4 and look at verse 17. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. We'll get to our School of the Spirit teaching in a minute. But I know this is on everybody's heart, and I want to, you know, just lighten our hearts. It says, the matter is by the decree of the watchers. I didn't hear you. Give this to me in the New International Version. Give it to me in the New International Version. The King James is good, but, you know, this decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know. Now, this is very important. That the Most High is what? Sovereign over the kings of men, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the what? Lowliest of men. The King James uses the word basest. You know, sometimes you wonder why you know, really terrible people get to power. Here the scripture says that he rules in the affairs of men, and sometimes he will set over them, you know. And it's because many times the people get the kind of leader they deserve. They ask for a king. God said, I don't want you to have a king. I'm your king. They said they wanted a king. God said, you want a king? He said, Samuel, go and anoint them a king. He said, go and give them a king. Then I will show you the kind of king that you want. God was really angry. Some people don't know their Bible up to that place. Give me Hosea. He says, I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. Give it to me. Hosea. Chapter 13. Good. I gave thee. Everybody open your mouth. A king, what? In my anger, and I took him away. So when they asked for a king, God was angry. He gave them the king they wanted. And I believe that what we've seen yesterday is similar to this. I'm not necessarily saying that God is going to kill Donald Trump. I know people can misinterpret that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that the people got the king that they wanted. If you looked at the demographics and the, you know, if you look at the voting and all of that, you know, you find that amongst the enlightened and educated people, Hillary won. It was the people, she even won the popular vote, but she lost the Electoral College. You know, the enlightened people, the people in the suburban, those who, you know, educated, it was in the rural areas that Donald Trump swept the place. So when you added their numbers together, it overwhelmed the numbers in the urban centers. That's really what happened. You know, they made their choice. Some of the people, America is a very, Joshua schooled in Virginia for 2 years, you know, after he finished his, for 1 year. When he finished, he was in, sent him to a military place just for some, you know, he did very well. He said, you know, it's very good academically, and it's very good just for him to have that kind of training for strategic mind. And he made a lot of contacts, because once you're in the military, you have a military something in America, it's very, very good, you know. So I used to go and pick him. His school is in deep in Virginia, very close, not about 2 hours drive from Washington, D.C., you know. And during that time, I began to understand more about the American mentality. Practically, I used to drive. I would drive my, you know, I rent a car, and I would drive, you know, and I would go through all these small towns. All of them had Confederate flags. This is something that has been, the Civil War has been fought since the time of 1864, but they still will put the Confederate flag there. Some of those mentalities of slavery and still deep seated inside the hearts of some of the people, not all of them, but of some of them. Furthermore, you know, you find that, you know, particularly those in the, that's why I was able to appreciate what happened yesterday. You see, those inside the, not those who live in the cities and all of that, you know, those who live, you know, inside the rural areas. I mean, it's not rural, it's not like Nigeria, it's rural, it's still nice and all of that, you know, you find that they're very ignorant about world affairs. They see things from a very narrow perspective. So that's why when someone like Donald Trump comes tell, they believe it. No matter, you can give them all the facts. Like,
That's what happened.
So even, you know, as we prayed that God will enlighten the understanding and all of that, it is God will not override the free will of a man. So they may see, you know, Donald Trump said, he said if he shot somebody on Fifth Avenue, he said they would still vote for him. He said so. And it happened. If he shot somebody, he said they would still vote for him. No matter what came out, they would say, it doesn't matter. They still believe in him because he was going to champion some of their values and all of that. So, brethren, that is what I believe happened. I believe that, you know, Clinton would probably have been the better will of God. But the people made their choice. And God has allowed their choice to come into manifestation. We as Christians, we need to continue to pray. Whether it's Clinton, whether it's Bush, whether it's Donald Trump, our prayer for America will not cease, because so that we can continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in all honesty. For us, let us continue to pray and seek God. It is imperative now that we grow spiritually into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that God can use us like he used Joseph, like he used Daniel. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a terrible king. But it took a Daniel to discipline him. That is why the church now has to arise. Because we're surrounded now by terrible kings. But it will take a Daniel. It will take a Joseph. A Daniel and a Joseph to tame them, so to speak, so that the will of God will still be done. And so the challenge for us now is even more imperative than it even, I mean, it's always been, but it's with this now, we need to be inspired and challenged to arise and shine, for thy light is come, and darkness and gross darkness covers the earth, and so that we can dispel the darkness. And even though we may have a Nebuchadnezzar inside the, you know, on the throne, you know, with the power of God, and that's what I was talking about on Sunday, they that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. We will be able to keep them in check. You know, the people have gotten the king that they wanted. They have gotten the king that they wanted. You know, one other thing, I mentioned this glancingly, but I will also say it, is that I mentioned it at the beginning. You know, I believe, I don't understand it all. I certainly, all of us, we're still growing. There's so many things that will unfold over time. You know, that the lesbian gay issue also is a part of that. And that God may actually use this to try and stem that the tide of that thing, because at least if he puts in a judge on the Supreme Court, they may be able to maybe overturn some of these things that have been done on the lesbian. As Christians, we know homosexuality is not the will of God; it is a sin, you know, and maybe God will use this, you know, to help to some degree try and correct, because it's still become so open and blatant now. So that could be something that God could use, you know, to help in that regard. So these are the issues on ground. So let us be strengthened, let us be encouraged. It doesn't change who God is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't hear you. Hallelujah. And I said last time we're going to be celebrating, but we are celebrating in Jesus' name. Amen. We still, the Bible says, you know, in everything we give thanks. you know, is praise God, worship God, continue to pray, continue to seek God, you know, doesn't change who God is, and it helps us to know God better and better. So when we're in this kind of situation, we continue to pray, continue to seek the Lord, and God will still work. The Bible says in all things, God is working. God is working. You know, so we're going to keep praying, and God will work inside the situation, and somehow He will bring His purpose to come to pass through all of this, in spite of the fact that probably this was not the best and the perfect will of God. Even if Hillary Clinton had won, you know, this morality gay issue would still be an issue on the table that we would still have been praying about, that, and like we were praying when Obama was, you know, while Obama is still there, you know, that God will help them to see, you know, see this and see how they can change and correct it. You know, I think they're right in their heart but wrong in their head on that issue. They see it as a civil rights issue, not a civil rights issue. It's a moral issue that is an abomination to God. And so that in all of this, God can probably use this to try and to some degree correct that. Even though even Trump himself has said he will support it. He will say anything. He said in their convention, he allowed a gay person to come and give a talk. You know, so, you know, so it's not as if he himself is against the gay thing, you know, the homosexuality thing. But I believe that God can use it. Use him, you know, or his position to see what he can do about that. So we'll continue to pray and we'll continue to seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give a Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So be encouraged. And we'll continue to pray to discern the will of God. What we perceive is the will of God, we'll let you know. We'll pray about it like we've been doing. You know, I did it with George W. Bush. I did it with Barack Obama. You know, and here we're here with Hillary Clinton. But this time, the will of the people prevailed over what probably would have been the will of God. And there's so many things. One other very important thing, I think I should say this also, is God knows everything. We know something, but we don't know everything. You know, and God knows the hearts of men. And God can see. So he, you know, no matter what the devil does, you know, what happens, God knows, he will know how to work and bring things out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we are in the third day. Praise the Lord. I've taken quite some time to talk about this, you know, and we're in the time, like I shared during that brief exhortation about the election, you know, where the manifestation of the sons of God is imminent and urgent in order to deal with the challenges that the earth is facing. We're living at a time of human history where only the manifestation of the power of God, as it was in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be able to arrest the nations of the earth, you know, and cause the gospel of the kingdom to be preached unto all nations, you know. And God has given us a model, an example, a pattern through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was a baby in Bethlehem, and he grew up as a little child and a young man in Nazareth, and ultimately at the age of 30 he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, you know, and received what we call the Spirit without measure. Of course, he always had the Holy Spirit, but he had the Spirit without measure. And for us to be like him, he has given us a pattern in his word. The Bible shows us the example of Jesus, you know, and we can learn from his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're in the book of Luke at the moment, you know, how to be able to reproduce in our lives the same thing we see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that when we get born again, in the same way we're initially spiritual babies, we have the life of God in our spirits. Then we grow into little children and young men. Then ultimately we grow into spiritual man, fatherhood, where we can inherit the Spirit without measure, using the blood, the word, and the Spirit to remove the sin nature that is still inside the soul and inside the body. You know, and when all of it is out, then the life of God can be made manifest, not only in our spirits, like I shared on Sunday, but in the mind, the will, the emotions, and inside the physical body. This has not been seen since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth in manifestation on a consistent basis. And that is what we are all eagerly waiting for. The Bible says the whole earth is waiting and travailing in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is particularly true now for America. The whole nation is in, you know, and what will compensate and be a great encouragement, that's not the word I'm looking for, a great comfort to the whole nation and to the whole earth now will be a manifestation of the sons of God. It will be like pressing a reset button. It really won't matter now whether whoever is, you know, because the nations will now be governed by the power of God through the manifested sons of God, even though they will not hold political post, but they will be able to influence things in such a way that that's why they will say, "This is our God; we have waited for Him." It's very instructive to remember that even though Daniel was not the king, Daniel swayed power. Daniel was the effective king, but he was not the king. Joseph was not the king, but he was the effective king. So the political kings will now be dominated, if I can use that expression, I don't know if this is the most accurate one, you know, by the spiritual kings. And that will now bring a great relief and comfort to the whole earth. You know, because if you are looking at what's going on in natural, it's enough to... the Bible is so true, Pastor G. Distress of nations. Men's hearts failing them for fear. That's what people are... That's what's happening. You know, for fear of what? Nobody knows what's going to happen. Hey, this man is there now, you know. And the first one that called him was Putin. The first person that called him was Putin. And, you know, things, we will find out the whole truth of this thing. In some years' time, we'll be able to look back and see, you know, what really happened, even with the email hacking, all the things, so many things, you know, that took place. So our own part of the job now is to hasten the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. And allow the glory of God to come and manifest through us so that, you know, we can be a blessing unto the nations. No wonder why the Bible says that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And this is particularly true for us now, for the United States of America, for our nation in Nigeria. I said yesterday, Nigeria too is still facing serious challenges. Niger Delta issue is there. The other one, the economy is there. And, you know, there's so many things, you know, that are that need to be addressed. And I believe that the solutions to all of these things have a powerful spiritual dimension. They're not things that can just be solved in the natural alone. That's why we need this manifestation of the sons of God yesterday. Praise the Lord. But we trust that it's imminent, and we will be able to. God will never be too late. He will come in just at the right time. It looks late to us, but when He comes in, it will be. We will see that He says He will come and He will save us. Let me just. We're going to go to Luke in a minute. Quickly go to Psalm 35. So. part of my New Year message. God's already been downloading to me what I'm going to share in the New Year. I'll just give you a little bit of a snippet here. Isaiah 35, not Psalm 35, excuse me. Isaiah 35. It's talking about the coming of the Lord. Yes. And this, I will leave this with us and then we'll just go into the share a few things and close. It says, let's read from verse 4. Say ye to them, I didn't hear you, of a fearful heart, be strong. And we're saying this to ourselves, we're saying it to America, we're saying it, because people are afraid. People are afraid. You know, if I didn't know what I knew, and I didn't know God like I knew God, to the glory of God, I'm still knowing God, I'm still getting to know Him better, but I would be afraid too. But I'm not afraid. Because I know that God will take care of this situation, even though it's a very difficult situation. Praise the Lord. If I did not know God like I know God, and I did not know the scriptures, and I did not know the prophetic scriptures, I can imagine I would probably be just as concerned and as afraid, particularly because of what I know, you know, about world history. You know, this is so reminiscent of what happened with Adolf Hitler. It's so reminiscent, you know, and really there is a genuine concern. I won't want to use the word fear, that if not properly handled, this thing could lead to World War III. And it's not like conventional wars. The wars of 50, 100 years ago were wars that were fought with bullets and guns. You know, these ones, if you have a thermonuclear exchange, it's all over. You know, and so, you know, that's why God is speaking to us. Say ye to them, I didn't hear you, that of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. I didn't hear you. I said, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a what? Vengeance. He will come and save you. How is he going to come? He's going to come in us. Amen. The Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple. And it's when is that coming in us that will now save this situation. He will save us. He will save the world. You know, he will, so that the gospel of the kingdom can be preached unto all nations. The world has made up, it is very, very sad. The world, a lot of people in the world have made up their minds, you know, set their wills, you know, against God. Rebellion, lying, you know. I don't, and people, they know it is not, and they agree. It's unbelievable. But here we are. It shows you the depravity to which the human heart has sunk. No wonder why we need the manifestation of the sons of God, so that the revival and the power of the Holy Spirit, like it was in times of Charles Finney, can sweep over the land and bring many people into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kind of Christianity we have now is so superficial. So it's not really penetrating. It's not doing the work God wants you to do. So we need this now. So anytime you are tempted to be discouraged, remember the scripture. Say ye to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, behold means look and see. It means it's imminent. It means your God. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. With vengeance. Behold, he will come. Even God with a recompense. He will come and he will do what? Save us. Hallelujah. He's not going to catch us away, you know, and take us to heaven. He's going to come in us. And then when he comes in us, the manifestation of the wisdom, the power, and the glory of God will now save us, even if we have a Nebuchadnezzar on the throne. Is it clear? I said, is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Okay, so you need to be encouraged. Praise the Lord. Okay, we'll go into the Word, and then at the end of the service, I'll probably just repeat a few things I said for the benefit of those who just, some people are just trickling in, and I've been just encouraging the brethren, encouraging all of us about the U.S. elections of last night and the election of Donald Trump, which we didn't believe, you know, is the will of God. But I said to the people, you know, the people asked for a king, they got a king. You know, in spite of the fact that God told the prophet and they prayed and, you know, and then they said, don't take it. They said, that's what they want. Okay. You know, so that's that has happened. And we as Christians will continue to pray so that the manifestation of God, sons of God, can come, and that then we'll be able to deal with any kind of king, no matter how bad. Praise the Lord. And our own job, this world is not our place. Our job here is to get the gospel of the kingdom preached to all nations. Once we do that and we leave, then they will really see. He that letteth will let until he be taken, and then they shall not wicked. The wickedness in their heart, they don't know who they are dealing with. They don't know how bad the devil is. You know, it's a very disturbing thing that the human heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Praise the Lord. But they've made their choice, so we will continue to pray. Praise the Lord. So we're in Luke chapter 9, and in my last lesson, I believe we stopped in verse 27, remember, where I think we stopped in verse 22, where I said, where Jesus, this after Jesus said, who do they say I am? Then Peter said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Then Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. Well, they didn't say that in Luke. They said it in Matthew. It was recorded by Matthew. And then he said, from that time on, I was sharing with us that revelation is progressive. From that time, Jesus now began to say, okay, now you know who I am. Now let me tell you what my purpose is. And my purpose is to go to Jerusalem and die and be raised. And of course, they couldn't handle it, you know, at that time. But, you know, that's what God does with us. Once you get one level of revelation, God will give you a higher level of revelation, you know, that will be higher than the one that you got, you know. So the first one is like a prerequisite. Unless you, if you don't have that one, you can't get a higher one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he said, and who do you see I am? He said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them, verse 22, and commanded them that he tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. Now, I said this my last lesson. They heard, but they did not hear. They heard the words, he spoke to them in Hebrew and Aramaic, you know, but the revelation of what he said didn't dawn on them. Otherwise, they would not have been disturbed when Jesus died, you know. And when Mary Magdalene came and said, they said, come on, shut up, these idle tales. Whereas Jesus had told them, he had told them about 1.5 or 2 years before it happened. And he'd been telling them, the Son of Man will die, the Son of Man will die, the Son of Man will die. They heard, but they did not hear. And he didn't even just tell them alone that he would die. If you had just told them, oh, I'm going to die, you'd have been able to understand their remorse and their discouragement. But he said, I will be raised again on the third day. So, they should have, when Jesus was arrested and all of that, he said, well, that's what he said. And the third day, everybody should have been expectant. You know, they heard, but they didn't hear. It happens to us too. We hear, but we don't hear. The revelation of what we say does not dawn upon the heart, even though we hear the English words. Or the Yoruba words, or whatever language you're speaking. In other words, you're hearing what I'm saying, but your heart may not necessarily be enlightened to be able to grasp what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we need to take heed to ourselves. So we're not like Peter. You know, Peter heard what Jesus said. He didn't understand what Jesus said, even though, watch this, he already had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. So he had revelation at one level, but he didn't have revelation at the second level, even though Jesus was presented to him. Jesus said, you know, I will die and I'll be raised again on the third day. They'll take me to Jerusalem, they will scourge me, they will slap me, they will kill me, but the third day I'll be raised from dead. And he said, this will not happen to you. That's when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He heard, but he didn't perceive the reality of, he didn't perceive the understanding and the purpose of what God was saying. Even though he heard it, you know how he responded? Totally in the natural. Jesus is his friend, and his teacher, and his Lord, you know, and he said, pity yourself. It's like us today. God forbid. I reject it for you in Jesus' name. You will not go to Jerusalem. You will not die. It's not your portion in Jesus' name. And he was completely wrong. So it's important for us to be able to perceive what the will of God is and to be able to. So if, just hearing the words alone, we have to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so, it was in the light of that, he now goes to verse 23. Let's read all together. And he said unto them all, I didn't hear you. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross once in a week, monthly. Take up his cross daily and what? Follow me. The Greek word follow is the word mimetes. That's where we get the word mimic from. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. Let's just stop there. Here, Jesus, after revealing who he was and his purpose, which they didn't appreciate and understand, like I said, he now begins to tell them, you know, how to follow him. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Pastor Conley mentioned some of this on Sunday. You know, self-denial, you know, is an integral part of our Christian discipleship. And take up his cross daily. The taking up of the cross is a daily affair. And imitate or follow my example. Now Jesus is the perfect example of this, because the Bible says in the days of his flesh he did what? He offered up prayers and supplication with what? Strong crying and tears. So taking up his cross daily is not a physical cross. It's using the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the flesh. You do it daily. The Lord Jesus, Paul, speaking about this in the book of Romans, he said, and therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the... But for if ye live after the flesh, even though you are born again, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do what? Mortify. That's the same word as crucify. So that's the crucifixion that Jesus is talking about here. It's a crucifixion. It is a killing of the sin nature in the soul and the body by the power of the Holy Spirit through daily prayer. That's your cross. Your cross is not a sickness. Your cross is not your husband. Your cross is not your wife. Your cross is not that very troublesome Christian that is sandpapering you. Praise the Lord. How many people remember sandpaper? Hello? Yeah, that's not your cross. Your cross is to use the power of the Holy Spirit daily to crucify the flesh. And that's why he said, follow me. The word follow is the word mimic, means imitate my example. And Paul, the same Paul, reveals to us in Hebrews what Jesus' daily habit was. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny him, or rather, in the days of his flesh, offered up what? Prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears. Say, follow that example. Imitate it. Do that daily. Hallelujah. And that is how you will be able to crucify the flesh, you know, and you will live. I wrote here, you know, he calls his disciples to a life of crucifixion of by the Spirit, you know, and those scriptures I mentioned in Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. That's very important. Paul is the one who expatiates on that in Romans, and see what he said. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 11, verse 13, verse 26. I'll just pick them like that. Romans 8. Give it to me, the New King James Version, because, you know, it says it right. And if Christ be in you, I didn't hear you. The body is dead. That's the physical body is spiritually dead. It's not that the body is dead physically. It's spiritually, it has spiritual death inside because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness or right standing. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also do what? Give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's the crucifying of the flesh. Now, you're supposed to do this daily. Look at verse 13. Jump. For if you live according to the flesh, give this to me, the New International Version. If you live, I didn't hear you, according to the sin nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit, now you can't do it by any other way. If by the Spirit you do what? Put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That's a crucified life. And we are commanded, incidentally, it is not a suggestion, to do it as a daily habit. Let him take up his cross. How often? Did he say weekly? Daily. Daily you will live. Hallelujah. And he goes to expatiate on this. I preached on this recently in church, on groanings and resurrection life. Verse 26. Jump to verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with what? Groans that words cannot express. And we shared, you know, groaning pumps the resurrection life and power, the life of God converted to power from our spirit. It pumps it into the flesh and then begins to kill the sin nature inside the flesh. The word kill is just a symbolic expression for eliminating it. Praise the Lord. That's what you do when you kill something, you eliminate it. And somebody, you know, there's a modern expression now we use, they take him out. So take, touch your neighbor, say, take the sin nature out. Say, take him out. Praise the Lord. Literally, that's what you're doing. You're killing it. You're taking it out. So it's there, and then you want to remove it. You know, technically, really what happens, that sin nature is simply a distortion of the divine nature anyway. So when you pump the power of God into it, it removes that distortion and makes it, you know, converts it back to the divine nature. Don't ever forget that, because, you know, where we got that revelation from was from the book of Ezekiel. It says Satan was created perfect. Hello? You know, you understand the origin of evil. This U.S. elections, again, you know, reflects what I'm saying. You know, what was the origin of evil? It's the misuse of free will. He says, you know, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have made it. It says, for thou was perfect from the day in which thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. Then he uses a very powerful word, you know, that helps you to grasp it. He says, you have corrupted your wisdom. What is corruption? A corruption is a distortion. If look at this auditorium now, you know, clean, nice. Look at all these chairs in order. Everything, you know. Now imagine somebody coming here, God forbid, you know, and they just come and start, you know, they take this chair and they throw it over there. They spoil the floor, they dirty it and all of that. You know, it's still the same chairs. But, you know, you can, by moving them around in a disorderly fashion, do you understand? You distort it. This place, instead of looking nice and beautiful and orderly like it, it starts looking dirty, starts smelling, it's still the same substance that was inside. It's just a question of rearrangement. So sin is actually a distortion of righteousness. Death is a distortion of life. So when you put the power of God, you remove the distortion. That's how you kill it. You take it out. You remove it. Is it clear? I said, is it clear? Hallelujah. The next verse. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. Let's finish reading this because it's so important. For what is a man advantaged? I didn't hear you. If he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of that of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, what is Jesus telling us here? What's the Lord Jesus telling us? In verse 24, the word for means because. He says, if any man wants to be, if you want to really be my disciple, he said, follow my example. Take up the cross. We've explained what that is. The power of the Holy Spirit. And use it to crucify, to kill the sin nature in your flesh as a daily habit. Then he now says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And this is what we have discovered over the years. And it is this, that if you, for you to live this crucified life, it requires self-denial. Are you listening to me? That's why if you try and save your natural life, if you try and do the things that you know that you just normally do and live your natural life, you will lose that spiritual life. You will not be able to crucify the flesh. You will find that that's why this issue of time management is so important. If you try and save your, if you concentrate only on natural things, you will lose that spiritual life. That's why I said that if you try and save your life, he said you will lose it. But if for my sake you lose the natural one, then you will find it. And we've said it so many times. If you, he said Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, when you save your soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, you know, and you begin to have the mind of Christ and all of that, everything that you seem to have lost, you will gain it back. But if you want to hold on to the natural life, you will lose the spiritual life. So you have to make what is called an informed, intelligent decision. Hello? In Timothy, it says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it's a win-win situation. If you lose, if you try and neglect spiritual things so that you can hold on to your natural life, your job, your wife, your family, and you neglect, you don't crucify the flesh, you don't take up your cross daily because it takes time. Hello? It takes time. It takes self-denial. It takes, you know, discipline. For, you know, self-denial from sleep, from eating, from the natural appetites and all that kind of thing. If you want to hold on to the natural, you will lose that spiritual one. And you will lose your soul. your mind, your will, and your emotions, you will not be able to. Jesus said in one place, he says, in your patience possess ye your souls. You will not be able to possess your soul with the life of God and the power of God. Then you say in 1 Corinthians, he said, you walk like mere men. You just become like every ordinary person who is not even born again. Even though you are born again and you go to heaven, but you will lose reward, you know, and all of that. So he says, if you try and save your life, he said, you're going to lose it. So for you to make progress spiritually, you must put your life down. That's why you must live a life, a daily crucified life. That's why you need to give time. That's why you get up early in the morning, you pray. And then, you know, you don't do all the things other people do as a habit. Not as if you don't eat. Of course you eat and all that. But, you know, you're temperate in all things. You deny yourself so that you can give time to prayer. You can give time to the word. So you can give time to fellowship with God so that you can get to know God and you can use this power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the flesh. When you don't do those things, what happens is that you just, you know, you live a natural life and your spiritual life begins to ebb away gradually, and then you lose your inheritance, the spirit without measure. You never, in fact, all those things only become real, they're not real to you anymore. You just live like ordinary men. And this is the disaster that the church is facing at the moment. Because, see, the concept of the crucified life is not even taught anymore. You hardly hear it. Most people just live, you know, they'll come to church, you know, and let God bless me materially and financially, end of story, die and go to heaven. And they lose their soul. And that is why Jesus said here, he said, what is a man advantaged? He said, if you gain the whole world. And you know the sad thing? You can't even gain the whole world. All the things you are running for, the money, he said, don't be like the heathen. Don't be like the nations, you know? What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? That's what people chase after and neglect their spiritual life. Yes, sir. Hello? And at the end of the day, even that, well, you're not going to get it. So it's a lose-lose situation instead of a win-win situation. Hello, somebody. You lose it. You lose the natural thing you're looking for. You try and gain the whole world, you say, and lose his soul. What's the point of having so many material things and physical things, and yet you're not possessing your soul? You're not, your mind, your will, your emotions are not possessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a disaster. You know, I've said this, you know, I've said it in times past. You can have somebody who's very intellectual, you know, yet he can't control his temper. He can't control his appetites. You find, you know, I remember years ago something happened. I saw one person, I won't mention the person's name. It's a very, very world-renowned academician. You know, the man had died, and he sent his first wife away. You know, I don't know, you know, divorced or whatever. You know, and he had an affair with one very young girl, and the girl came to our church. This was when I was still in Bojina International School. It's a true story, you know. And she came up to me. She had these two little children with her, you know, and came up to me after the service and introduced herself to me as Mrs. So so and so and so and so. I was shocked. And so, and then I looked at the children. I could see the man's face on the children. So I knew it was true. You know, the scripture just came to me. It said, by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a peace. This is a man who is international, who was internationally acclaimed. In spite of his high intellectual value, he did not have enough of the self-control and the fruit of the Holy Spirit to control his sexual appetite and all that. And his marital and family life was a complete mess. And it's one of the things that killed him. If I mention his name, everybody will know him, but I won't. You know? You know, he's an internationally acclaimed Nigerian. He died just, you know, and it was this girl. The girl, I don't think that girl, God forgive me, you know, looking back now, you know, I doubt if she finished secondary school. I doubt. Maybe she finished secondary school. She was at that kind of level. I think professionally she was a photographer or something like that. You know, because she came and introduced herself to me and who she was and blah, blah, blah. You know, I said, how can a man of that stature, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? May we not lose our soul in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, these last two verses I'm going to close with, 26 and 27. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory. Let me just stop there. You will not be ashamed when the glory comes. Oh. Here, Jesus is not talking. You know, for years, I thought he was talking about the rapture. And there is an application to the rapture. But in its first prophetic context, he's talking about being ashamed when Jesus comes in the church in his glory, you know, and then you are not able to stand. He said, be ashamed of him, you know, when he shall come in his own glory. And it's going to happen. Sadly, it's going to happen to people who are not prepared. People who don't, you know, who are not taking heed to some of these things where we've been preaching and talking about. Look at 1 John chapter 2. You know, this is so important. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, it's verse 28. Excuse me. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You will not be ashamed though. But people can be ashamed if you're not prepared. You know, where the Bible, that's why the Bible says in Malachi, talking about the city, he says, who shall stand when he appears? There are so many Christians that are just living careless lives. When the manifestation and the glory of God comes, they will be ashamed. They will be ashamed. Because they can't manifest, they can't do anything, you know. And people say, I think you used to go to that church. Should be one of the people who used to make a lot of noise about that thing. Look at you, so you. In our scripture, talking about the same thing, he says it this way. And Pastor Dear touched glancingly on it in the last Wednesday when he says, you know, until the day break. And our scripture says, you know, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, until the day he says, judge nothing before the time. Until the day dawn. He says, and then it will be made manifest every man's work of what sort it is. That's when shame will come. Because you can't hide anymore. To be clear. You know, he says, you will not be ashamed before him at his coming in Jesus' name. But that's why you need to crucify your flesh now. That's why you need to take up your cross daily. That's why you need to lose your life for his sake so that you can find it and you can possess your soul. So that when he appears in the church, you will not be ashamed. Hallelujah. It also has an application to rapture, you know. Although that's not an immediate application, it's a later application, but it's also true. You know, imagine, you know, because the Bible says, you know, two shall be taken away. You know, it says there will be two people in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. One will be taken, one will be left. Can you imagine somebody who comes to church every day and he's praying and he's doing all, you know, all of these things? Then the rapture happens, you know, and the first flight, you know, all these guys go and the guy is still left behind. Can you imagine kind of shame? So, let's make sure that, you know, we are preparing ourselves. Scripture says, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So make sure you are purifying yourself by the blood, the word, and the spirit. You are crucifying the sin nature in the flesh as a daily habit, so you are preparing for the coming of the Lord in the church. He's going to come first of all in us before he comes for us at the rapture, and then before he comes with us for the millennial reign. So it's very, very important, particularly now with all of these things that are happening upon the earth. You know, so make sure, let's get back to Luke now as we close. Yes. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and in his angel and of the holy angels. You know, that word holy angels can also, it can literally mean angels, it can also mean messengers, you know, the apostolic messengers, the prophetic messengers. Imagine, you know, after all this we've been preaching and teaching all of these years, then suddenly the manifestation of the glory starts, you know, and then you are nowhere to be found. You are ashamed before him and before his angels. And, you know, it's a reality. I want to repeat something that we've said many, many times. A warning is not a curse. Paul said, that's why we teach every man, warning every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. So this is a warning. The Lord Jesus himself gave it to us. He said, you want to come after me? He said, take up your cross daily. Follow me. Follow me. If you try and save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And he says that if, you know, what shall it profit a man if you gain all these material things and you don't possess and you lose your soul? And then he went on to say, now, I'm telling you all of these things, I'm paraphrasing, so that you will not be ashamed. God loves us so much, he does not want us to be ashamed. Talking about shame, you know, as I close, you know, the Bible says that hope maketh not ashamed. That same scripture Hillary Clinton quoted from on Sunday. Give it to me in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse 1. Okay, go to verse 2. Yeah, okay. Verse 2. 3. Good. Not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Next verse. And patience experience, and experience what? And hope maketh not ashamed. 1 John chapter 3. He that had this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself. That hope of the glory of God that you have will not be put to shame. It will manifest. Are you listening to me? And so God is encouraging us not to give up on that hope. You know, and when we face tribulations and difficult situations, he says, tribulation worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Then as you experience one victory, it gives you hope for the next one. Then you experience another victory, it gives you hope for the next one. And then it takes you ultimately to Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory will be made manifest. Are you listening to me? So don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your hope. Hallelujah. It will not be put to shame. Twice, many, many times, but twice in the book of Joel, when the Bible is talking about the manifestation of the sons of God, it says, and my people shall not be ashamed. And my people, why do you think God is saying that? Why do you think God is saying that? He wants to encourage us, because he knows that in the end time, before this thing comes, there will be a period of time where we will be praying, we'll be fasting, we will be preparing, and it will seem as if maybe the things a little bit delayed. He said, but don't worry. My people shall not be put to shame. Look at Isaiah 61. I got to close. One of the scriptures that God has really ministered to me in recent times. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 and 2. You know, Jesus quoted this scripture and it also has a application to us. Verse 2. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable the day of the vengeance. This same vengeance I spoke about from Isaiah 35. It says, say ye to them that have a fearful heart, fear not, for your God cometh with a vengeance. Now, look at it. He said, to comfort what? All that mourn. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give them what? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Go down, next verse. It says, you shall build the old waste places. Verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. Aha, this is it. For your shame, you will have what? Double. It means, and this is very encouraging. It's very, very encouraging. It means that before the manifestation comes, there will be a period of shame. It will be as if, all this thing you are preaching, all this thing you are doing, where is it now? Say, where is it? Where is the promise of his coming? Hey, Pastor Lupi, where is this incredible photographic memory? Where is this manifestation of the sons of God? Where is this ability of the mind of Christ? Where is this glory? You feel like shame. He said, for that shame, you will have double. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. For your shame, you shall have double. Hallelujah. Everybody talk to God tonight. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strengthened. Say ye to them that have a fearful heart, fear not, for behold, your God cometh. So in spite of all these things that have happened, even these elections, fear not, behold, your God cometh. He's come with a vengeance. He's going to come. And for our shame, we're going to have double. I said, for our shame, we're going to have double. And touch your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word of encouragement that has come to me tonight reminded me that we are in the times of the manifestation of your glory. That as you come in us, manifesting the same glory that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, through us you will save the nations. Through us you will cause your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, I thank you for this word. I ask you, strengthen my heart. Encourage me, Lord, strengthen my heart and comfort me by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, not to give up, not to take my eye off the goal, knowing that this hope will not be put to shame, that for our shame, currently, before the manifestation, we will receive double glory. Father, I thank you for this. I ask for fresh revelation of your will and of your purpose, of your glory, to encourage me to continue in the word, Lord God, so that ultimately I will come to know the truth, and that truth will set me free in Jesus' name. La priketoske fre, joko krishingara, sufre, zoko kromatula, number kamatula mustufri dufri dufri dufri, zofre, number kamatula mustufre, tufrines, tufrines, zufrinengaras, tulamustufres, tulamashaki tufres, zofres, zofrines, tulamangaras, shukuros, nikaroros, tufrines, Tushkefres, Tolomaras, Tufish, Shekeres, Lera Doramas, Tufrines, Tufrines, Tufrenegas. In Jesus' name. Let's be seated. Mommy just walked in while I was ministering. We had spoken on the phone, and she was going to come and join us in the service. I have already shared with us about the American elections, and I'm doing this for a reason. I know I spent some time talking about it before I started ministering, but while I was ministering, some people came, so they didn't hear. And I know that many times when we start the praise and worship, people start, after they give their offering, some people will start going home. So I didn't want it to go to the end where some people would have left. You know, I know many, many of us would have been discouraged by the result of the American elections yesterday, you know, in which Donald Trump was elected as president-elect rather than Hillary Clinton. You know, and some people wondering, why will that kind of thing happen, you know, and so on and so forth. And like I've explained, you know, we pray to discern what we believe is the will of God. And then we pray. We didn't say, thus say the Lord. We discern. Some can be the will of God. Even when you pray, the will of men are involved. And if the men make their choice, then God will not override human will. We see this in Saul. God didn't want Israel to have a king. They insisted. God gave them the king, but it was not the will of God. God was angry. In fact, we looked at that scripture in Hosea chapter 13. He says, I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. And so there is a choice they have made, you know. And what we need to do is to continue to pray, to continue to seek God, that even with this their choice, someone said, I will not sin by stopping to pray for you. So we continue to pray, you know, that God will work inside the situation. And I said, this is even more imperative now, that the manifestation of the sons of God come, so that even when you have a king like Nebuchadnezzar, there will be a Daniel in the land that will be able to tame him and cause the will of God to be done. So there is a challenge. There's an urgent challenge for us now to grow into the fullness of Christ and manifest the glory of God, so that God can use us to disciple the nations and discipline the nations. You know, like it says in Psalm 2 and Psalm 110, you know, the rod of strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of his enemies. The people have made their choice. It's their choice. You know, and even when they make their choice and it's not the will of God, God will not force the people. He will influence them. Try and change it if they will listen. But if they make their choice, then he will not override their choice. And basically, that's what happened. And I know Mommy would like to say a few words. Mommy.
Praise the Lord. Sorry, I was just coming in from Abuja. Yes. So I said this is a time when kings ought not to be outside, but I had to go. And I was just praying that I'd be here to talk to you. Now listen to me, brethren. I am, by his grace, I see that I have grown. And in Romans 5, that pastor read now, let me have it in Amplified. I just want to quickly read. I won't take more than 5 minutes. See, let me tell you something. God is God. Amen. Amen. If you were at the Gideon's meeting, you realize what I said. I did not, look, praying for Hillary was a struggle for me. People, Pastor G knows. And on that Saturday in Gideon's army, I said, in fact, when I was saying it, people were looking at me, what is mommy saying? I said to you that, listen to me, Donald Trump is what America deserves. Did I say it or not? I said, Donald Trump is what America deserves. That's who they deserve. I said, because the sleeping church are asking for him. They are all asking for him. Everyone is asking for him. That's what it is. And I said, what I said was this. I said, look at Hillary. She has a lot of baggage. And if we have to look out of the two of them, just like in the case when we were praying in, for Nigeria. For a long time, they asked me, Mommy, what is your position? I said, I don't have any position. I don't have any position. Even that day I said to you, if you remember that, don't say I'm for her. I'm not for her. I'm not with her. I'm only with God's purpose. That's what I am with. And you better wake up, brethren. I am only with God's purpose. Don't feel sorry for me. There's nothing wrong with me. Somebody sent a text and said, oh, Mommy, you are still an iron fair of God. That is not it. Forget it. My being beloved and craving for the being a it's far beyond. Every prayer, son of Ham, when we discerned it, twin nation, when we discerned it and we're praying for it, it happened. This one was out of our hands. Every prayer before 8 years, and it was before anybody, and that one was more difficult to answer than this one. Hillary is an institution. It's easier for her to become Madam President than for Barack Obama at that time to become the President of America. And the Lord answered. Brethren, it is not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. We will run, but mercy is God's prerogative. And let me tell you something, he will not violate man's will. And any human being that violates man's will is a witch or a wizard. Because that's what God gives us. Free will. That free will is his joy when you give it to him. When we're coming out, Shalakwe said, even Jesus had to give Jesus, God, that free will. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. When there was that struggle. So relax, brethren. God is in control. God is in absolute control. Amen. We didn't say, thus yet, God. We were struggling. But we just took a position. That, Lord, this woman, let me tell you, if you are a judge and you are a lawyer, you will know this. A plea is a plea. What is a plea? Begging me. Please do this for me. Supplicate. And that's what we say. We say, we can come and plead your case. So we will just come and plead our case for Hillary's case. Because she did this, she did that. And stand on the premise of that. God can say yes. And God can say no. And if God wants to say, even God, it's not blasphemy, it's a word. Even God cannot do anything if man says no. Because of the free will, not override man's free will. If he could have stopped Lucifer. There were only three archangels that had free will. One of them revolted and God didn't stop him. Because the gift of the Lord is without repentance. So rise up your head and let's keep running. Amen. We are not for her. We are for God's purpose. What's wrong? Well, press on, man. Hallelujah. Nigeria is not seeing the change they deserve. They are seeing it. They are seeing the change they deserve. They are seeing it. Change. The change has come. The change we deserve. God, remember mercy. That's what we're crying for. For our sake. So, brethren, let's look at that thing. Let me just end with that. I hope I can see properly. Through him, 5:2. I was reading it from my. Conked. Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into his great state of God's favor, in which you firmly, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. Unswerving endurance. Stop it there. Brethren, you know, don't be the ones that will be crucifying your brethren. The time of, you know, now we have hindsight. So many people, their eyes are opened. Because it has happened in Nigeria. And we said twin nation. Remember the time we were praying. Those of you that in Gideon know that this thing is not story. When we were praying for twin nation. And we were praying. And God said, pray for America. Those of you that are in Gideon understand this. You know, now you have seen it. Because what happened here is exactly like what happened to Nigeria. Twin nation is a replica. And at the time we were praying, at that time, they said this. No, we didn't have a position. What we said is this. Look, God didn't say, but the Bible says, how can light and darkness, what conquered us as light to darkness. That was when we took a position that this is against God's will. We cannot pray this. And let me tell you, it was one of the two. I could not pray this Trump thing. I could not. My conscience could not. Hillary, well, my conscience would not. At least I should have faith before I pray. Now that he has become our king in America, we have no choice. Because it is the word. Again, it is not how I feel. It is not how I feel. Brethren, it has nothing to do with how I feel. This is just simply the word of God. Once the position has been taken with on the side of God's word, I take the side of God's word. Amen. That's the way. That's the way of soldiers. That's the way of militants in the spirit. You have no point, you have no choice, you have no will, only the will of the master. And listen, let me tell you something. One of the struggles I had with Obama and Jagbanyo, Pastor G, you know, Obama is actually suffering egbagon. I don't know. Obama is being chastened. He's actually suffering chastening. I told Pastor G, I said, Obama is going to suffer this chastening. I said, I don't know how, but it was. But look at it. For us, the church, God was faithful. Everything we prayed for him, not one jot, not one tittle, even concerning his popularity, concerning economy, everything throughout 8 years, 9 years, and beyond stood. Boom. But he went into something God did not send him. LGBT. And you know, this is what the church is revolting against. And how do you want to blame them? Pastor says, take the fact. How do you want to blame the church? I'll tell you why. Because there's a case now going on, is it in North Carolina, where a transgender, a child, yes, use of toilet took the school. Was it the school? I don't know what they took. County, took them to court, Supreme Court, because a transgender wants to be using toilets. A small child. Brethren, this is not of God. It's not of God. This LGBT that he has propagated has affected the legacies of many. And now his legacy has been affected. Today will be one of his worst days of his life. But you know, as for him being a black man, ruling White House successfully and not living in shame, God has proven that. Amen. So our sons can raise up their head. This color can say, no, God is not unjust. God is right. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm not inferior. Amen. To the letter. That standing is to the glory of God. We are not inferior. And you know what? One of the things that is also paining them, that because Hillary had to ride on his back to enter, they hated that. So anything but Hillary. It was a protest vote. It was a protest vote. So you come now as a Christian and you say, did they not hear God? Please sit down, President. Thank you. Yeah, they did not hear. We heard God though. We heard God because we did not say this is, not say God said. So there's a difference. But she was the better of the two candidates. Everybody, Pastor G knows, I was struggling. But we have to pray. We have to pray. We have to plead for mercy. Mercy, mercy. If you remember that day, it was mercy, mercy, mercy. Even if I still, there was some of this we still declared. But it is, and let me tell you, so God said, when you pray, you better know what you pray about. He says, you say democracy. What is democracy? The will of the people for the people by the people now. What is democracy? The will of the people knew. I said, God established the will of the people. Let there be peace. It's what they want. So brethren, let's forget the things that are past. Because this is a rock of offense. This could be. It, let me tell you, for those who do not see, the Bible says, in his light we see light. For those who do not see light in his light, it will be a rock of offense and a rock of stumbling. And God forbid, we will not stumble. But that's why I stood up today to say, no, Lord, get me there. I need to be there today. I don't run away. I live to fight another day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We live to fight another day. We keep fighting. We keep running. Until his kingdom come. And his will be made fully manifest. That is our heart. Let me tell you, Jesus was on earth. John the Baptist, his first cousin, died. Couldn't do nothing about it. Kept moving. He went to pray after he heard the news. He went, because there are choices that have to be made by people. And let me tell you, God himself cannot do anything against man's will. Remember in Gethsemane, not until Jesus said, not my will, but thy will, did the angels come to strengthen him. So brethren, this is it. Don't hurt each other. Don't, you know, say what you said before. I'm sure they're not saying it again. Because Nigeria has taught us a lesson. You know, those that say, hey, she'll be in our church. They were saying this, they were saying that. They will say it in front of Pastor Jesus. Sometimes they will say, they said that. We were praying that what portion has light with darkness. I'm praying to God. And so if God decided for us to have this, Shebi, this is the will of the people that we have. And we said it that day, even before now, that you people, ready, get ready. The storm is coming up, but God will help us to sleep in the midst of the storm. You see, how I know God is good. You know you have to grow. I like that endurance. That walking, moving to the next one. Move on, swerving endurance. Because then, I almost missed God. I was weak. And endurance, fortitude. Develops maturity of character. Develops maturity, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Hallelujah. Let me read that for you again. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces a habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. When it happened to Nigeria, I didn't understand this. Neither did I start enjoying this. But now I'm enjoying it. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, it almost cost me something because I came here and I was weeping. I was feeling so sad. And the God said to me, hey, girl, what is happening to you? He said, Inonjo, hey, Delta boys, Eru baby, brethren, I did not know. I said, ah, God, I will start making declarations again. And they will say, what's wrong with our Tutibere? Alali, Tutibere. Declarations to Tutibere. Holy Ghost, I said, fire! I just got up. I began to make the declarations in the name of Jesus. Little did I know, any, I did not know anything in the physical. But it came in the papers that Erubobe, it was the Delta boys, it was actually put in the papers. They were ready to, Papa G held it. Papa God held it. Today, by the mercy and the grace of God, I left that. I have a WhatsApp that I disciple. I just went and said to them, keep running. throughout, I had to do what I need to do. I'm moving. I said, everybody said, what is wrong? Nothing is wrong. Let us keep running. That tells me that endurance, fortitude develops maturity of character. I said, what is wrong though? The thing that can only be painful is that, oh, they said I said it and it didn't happen. So my pride is, oh, I beg, am I God? I didn't say God said. Who's has spoken well? I said I'm pleading a case. And Papa has mercy. My prerogative of God is I will show mercy unto whom I will show. If Papa decides not to show, I give them what they want. What is my own? I just keep praying what God says. Approve faith. This is what you need to do. Endurance produces fortitude, which develops maturity, which develops character. Approve faith and tried integrity and character of this sort, not any others. Tried one produces the habit of joyful and confident hope and eternal search. Welcome to that. God bless you. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super glad offering. Hallelujah. So let everybody be strengthened and encouraged. Bible says, you are fearful, I said, be strong. For the Lord your God will come. All this makes the manifestation of the sons of God even that much more urgent and imperative. And like Mommy has said, that's what we should be pressing on for now. Continue in prayer, continue in supplication, you know, so that we can manage this situation. Praise the Lord. And make sure that this guy, even though he's there, he will not do any silly thing. Hallelujah. Because it is a delicate situation. But God will take care of it in Jesus' name. Amen.